Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Transfigurations by your Spirit. Bring us into upgraded versions of our realities and help us to mirror the full essence of your kingdom and the weight of your glory, even as we impact the world with your will and extend the frontiers of your kingdom. Take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, choir. That was awesome. We give God praise. And so let's begin. We are looking at the subject of authority because it's our month of walking in authority. We attempted doing some form of exegesis in the last two Sundays, and it became impossible because somehow we hit a crescendo and the service is hijacked. I said I would not be doing a recap, but because of the protocol, the law of teaching, because somebody can just begin from here, so maybe 5 minutes, I'll just say a few things and then delve into the class. Hallelujah. We began by looking at the significance of authority, and I told us authority is something Jesus considered very important as a menu in our spiritual experience as Christians walking on the face of the earth. The Bible said our world is cruel, our world is dark, our world is treacherous, and our world is evil. And so we need a lot of authority to walk through this life victoriously. And so Jesus, before going to the cross, mandated the believers not to step out with their discipleship manual. In Luke 24, 49, it said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Because it's possible for you to have, having walked with me to the crusades and to the outdoor meetings, to assume for a second that this thing is something you master in the flesh. He said, no. There is an authority that backs every word that I speak. And so he said, wait until you are endued. Your classes and your lectures will count for nothing if authority is not vested upon you. And so he told them to tarry until they were endued with power. Now, the moment Jesus resurrected and met with them again, to my greatest dismay, he began to discuss the subject of authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you go in that power. And then when Jesus ascended to heaven, we were made to understand that he returned to lecture them again on matters of the kingdom for 40 days. And so in Acts chapter 1, from verse 1 to 8, we saw some of the teachings that Jesus gave to them. And that teaching was centered around kingdom because they needed to understand what the subject of the kingdom was all about. Because before Jesus resurrected, he was just manifesting God before them. Now, he was going to entrust them with the burdens of the kingdom. So he needed to teach them the requirements, the protocols, the laws that govern the kingdom. And so he came back and did a 40 days lecture with them. And upon departure, he told them, not many days from now, he said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. That means without authority in your life, you are a victim on arrival. This was the emphasis of Jesus. That authority is very significant and important. And it's not for the apostles. It's for everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. And so, having understood the top place of authority in our Christian walk, it's important for us, therefore, to understand the dynamics. Because everything in the kingdom has a protocol that regulates it. If you don't understand the dynamics, the reality will be there, but you will not access it. The reality will be there, but you will not make the most of it. This is why teachings are important, because the subject of teaching is to bring you light and illumination, so you are able to walk out the protocols of spiritual realities. And so our emphasis in this teaching series is to bring you an understanding of the dynamics, how authority works, so that you too can walk in authority. Because there's no glory having Christians line up for healing. There's no glory having Christians having to call apostles and prophets at night that they were oppressed by demons. There's no glory that believers want to travel and they need a prophet to tell them when to travel and when not to travel. It's a sign that we are still at an infantile stage and we've not grown to spiritual maturity. And so the idea and the emphasis of this class is to teach you the protocol so that you will work it out for yourself. And in a bit to understand what authority was about, we outline the five spiritual orders of authority. The five dimensions of authority in the kingdom. And we said the first dimension of authority is authority by birth. And I took out time to explain to you that there are certain privileges you enjoy because you are a citizen of this country. A stranger coming to this country will not enjoy those privileges because he or she is not a citizen. That's why I told you humorously that an American will have to struggle to get visa to come to Nigeria. Because you may think it's only Nigerians that look for visa to go to America. You are joking. The reason you can stroll in and out of the country is because you are a citizen. So there is an authority that is invested to your citizenship right. And then we said there's another dimension of authority. I said the second dimension of authority is authority by height. When you are ascended, there are things you command. And I told you, authority by height is superior to authority by DNA. Because all of us are Nigerians, but we don't wield the same powers. The president can decide tomorrow that nobody should go out. Even though you are a citizen, you won't go out. Because that kind of authority is authority by height. The position, the office, and the status confer certain rights upon him that even though you are equally a citizen like himself, he can say certain things and they'll be binding upon you. And so I said, in addition to authority by birth, we must also access authority by height. And then I said, thirdly, there is another dimension of authority called authority by light. That is authority by revelation. What you know is what determines what you command. He said, the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. And on the strength of their access to the secrets of God, there are many things they can do that every other person cannot. In fact, one of the mysteries of power, one of the secrets of power, is your ability to access codes that others don't have. A man who has secrets is a man of great power. And every time you see people operate in dimensions effortlessly, there is a mystery they are riding on. If you don't know that mystery, you can do everything they are doing, you will not have the same result. Results respond to mysteries. And so the third dimension of authority is authority by light. I said the fourth dimension of authority is authority by obedience. No spirit will confer authority upon you until he is sure of your loyalty. The Bible said, when your obedience is complete, then you shall avenge other disobedience. And so if you want to walk in authority, obedience must become your lifestyle. And finally, the fifth dimension of authority, which I'm adding now, is authority by service. It said, because you are faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. It said, because you are faithful in dealing with 10 talents, it said, go and have authority over 10 cities. And so when you see men who walk in authority, they are either calling on the powers of their DNA, or they are calling on the powers of height, or they are calling on the powers of light, or they are calling on the powers of obedience, or they are calling on the powers of service. When these five things surround you, your life will flow like a river, knowing no limitation. And every one of us can walk in it. God did not give authority only to the fivefold. There is a measure of authority that every believer can access depending on what he's working with. And so if you are without authority, the problem is not with God. And the idea is not that the devil is so strong. It is actually your ignorance or disobedience that is making you operate where you are operating. And if you access light, you will discover that you will become like an impregnable fortress that the devil, with all his machinations, will not be able to penetrate. And that is the calling of every believer. Now, in a bid to delve into authority by DNA, we began to expound on a few legal provisions of the Spirit. And I said the reason man lost authority in the first place is because of the guilt of sin. Because the man God created, he called him a dominion. And the word dominion is the word kuriotes. And I told you that in the ranking system of the Spirit, you have thrones, you have dominions, you have powers, and then you have principalities, and then you have powers, and then you have messengers. You find that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 to 16, and Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 18. And so there is a dimension of thrones. Thrones are those who have been called to participate in rulership with God in Zion. You cannot be a throne until you get to Zion. That's why the 24 elders, the Bible said, they sit on 24 thrones. And what they do is to keep the secrets of God and to co-rule with God. But because God is a king that continually expounds his influence, what he does is that he sends functionaries that carry authority from his kingdom in order to legislate his counsel in the new territories that is opening. That is why when he created the earth, there was a need for a kuriotes to be planted. So a dominion is a prince that has a territory that he legislates over. And so when he created man, he said, let them have dominion. So man was a prince in Zion that had the right to legislate over the earth realm. But a serpent came in, because the serpent had fallen. He was also a prince in heaven, ruling over one third of the angels. But when he disobeyed God, the Bible said there was no place found for him. And if you don't have a place, you cannot exercise dominion. And so what he did was to sneak into the garden to deceive the man and to seize his authority. And so when the devil was tempting Jesus, he said, bow down to me. I will give you the glory of the earth, for it has been delivered. So what happened in Eden was a transaction between two princes. Adam was ignorant, but he had given the earth, the authority over the earth, to the devil. In fact, the Bible called him the God of this world. The reason is because he is now the custodian of the powers of the earth realm. And so when Jesus came into the world, he needed to contend with the devil on a legal ground in the spirit to reclaim that power for everyone that will be born into his order. Now, when we are dealing with authority by birth, you didn't labor, because that power was reclaimed in the belly of Hades. The Bible said when Jesus descended, he didn't descend to go and relax. He actually descended to fight. Because in Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, Paul began to give us sight into the realities that took place in the underworld. And he said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So what Jesus went to the belly of Hades to do was to fight to take back the authority of the first Adam. Because he came also in the order of the Adam. And so he had the right to make demand on the powers of the Adam. And so when he resurrected from the dead, he now has the right to create another order of the human race. And so our new birth is actually an invitation and an awakening into a new order of life. Because the first order of life we belong to was a fallen order. But another Adam has come and has secured another authority and is inviting us into it. And so when you are born again, the Bible said he came unto his own and his own knew him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. And I told you, when you are born again,
two things happen. The first thing that happens to you is that Jesus gives you the right to use his name. Now, the right to use Jesus' name is a function of his obedience in the area where Adam disobeyed. And so when you are using Jesus' name, you are actually functioning in the Adamic order, but it's of the first Adam. Because the name of Jesus became available when he obeyed where Adam disobeyed. And so the name of Jesus ushers us into a new level of authority. And that authority gives us power over demons. But I said in the new birth, we have an economy beyond the name. I said the second economy we have is the fact that we are now co-equal, co-inheriting with the second Adam. And I said that is so because the second Adam is superior to the first Adam. The Bible said the first Adam was of the earth and so earthy. It said, but the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. It said the first Adam was made a living soul, but the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. And so he said, because we have borne the image of the first Adam, we should also bear the image of the second Adam. And so in addition to using the name of Jesus, when you are born into God's kingdom and you know, you are not just carrying a name, you are clothed with Christ. And so when you step out, you are stepping out as the superior Adamic race. The first Adam had equal power with the devil, but the second Adam is not of the earth. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. And so in addition to the name of Jesus, the Bible said in Galatians 3:21, it says, as many who are born again, it said they have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you show up like the second Adam. Hope you know, when Jesus was walking in Galilee and in Nazareth, he didn't need to tell demons, I am Jesus, get out. The moment he shows up, the demons began to scream. And so even if you choose not to say, in the name of Jesus, go out. If you are walking with the consciousness that now you are clothed with Christ, as you walk into the environment, the demons will know, because they know the nature of the second Adam. That's why he said Jesus we know, Paul we know, because Paul also has become clothed. And so even when Paul is not using the name of Jesus, when Paul comes, you will see him in the similitude and in the order of the Christos. All of this economy was available to us because we were born into a new order. And so any man who is born again has power over demons. The problem believers have is that they are not aware. And so he said they know not, neither will they understand. He said they walk on in darkness. He said, but I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. He said, but you will fall like the princes. If you know who you are in the new birth, you don't need a deliverance service. You will walk in the fullness of the glory and of the power of the Christ. This is why we preach the gospel, to let a generation understand who they are. Pastor Chris says, I know who I am. I know who I am. It's not a cliche. It's actually a key to awaken the second Adamic order. When you say, I know who I am, you are telling the devil, I'm not your match. The first Adam can fight with you, but the second Adam is more than a conqueror. The second Adam does not fight. He walks from victory. The battle has already been concluded. I walk in the spoils of battle. I am more than a conqueror. But many are not aware. And so they are born again, but they are still slaves. And so the Bible says, my people perish. Not because their God is not alive. He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And so in the first two Sundays, we taught and we explained how that you are in the order of the second Adam. And so you have the right to both use the name of Jesus and also to wear Jesus as a garment. And so in addition to the suit you are wearing, you better be aware that you are clothed with Christ. In Romans chapter 13 verse 14, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If all you are wearing is a suit, you are in trouble. But some of us, when we go out, we know that beyond the truth, the suit, we are coming clothed with Christ. That's why others can be denied. But I live above protocols. I live above protocols. It can take somebody else 10 years. It will only take me 2 months. Because I don't follow the order of the second Adam. Anything I think, anything I declare, anything I consider is what happens to me. Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, see, men need to rise that violate protocols. They tell you have to be 40 to do it. Begin to do it. When they ask how old you are, tell them I'm 19. And they will know that, no, this is the finger of God. Your life will become a parable that God is telling a generation. That's why I was interested in the testimony of Solomon. A day comes where 22-year-old boy gathers people in a stadium, and as it's coming, cripples are walking. Then you will know that the stadium order of crusade is not for general overseers. It's for those who carry light. It's for those who are clothed with the powers of the ages to come. It's for those who are clothed with the eternal dimensions of God. A time will come, you will see a young boy of 24 sponsoring kingdom agenda onto billions. And then you ask, what is going on? They tell you he's a CEO of a telecommunication company. And you are asking yourself, what happened? He will tell you, in addition to hard work, I have something called divine direction. In addition to hard work, I have something called divine multiplication. Anything I touch, it multiplies. In addition to divine multiplication, there is something called divine wisdom. And so what took men 30 years to discover, I find it in 2 months. I can't hear this. I came tonight to tell somebody, you are struggling. It looks as if every door is shut. It's a weeping may endure for the night. It's a but joy comes in the morning. It's a our light afflictions are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. It doesn't matter where circumstances have put you. Hear the word of the Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost, arise and shine. Arise and shine. The Bible said, even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And he said, they that hear him, they shall live. I call forth every dimension in you that has died. Awake, thou that sleepeth, and receive the life of Christ. Aliyah. They told you, nobody from your family has done it before. That's why you came. That's why you showed up. They said, nobody from your village has done it before. That's why you showed up. Because you are not from your village. The Bible said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that died for me. I ended on the cross and I began at the resurrection. I'm a new man in Christ. And whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I decree over your life, every limitation standing against you, it rolls away now. It rolls away now. It rolls away now. Thank you, Father. Please sit down for a moment. Jesus, come. It's your time to shine. We will have young men here that will be millionaires in dollars. Not by Yahoo Yahoo, by divine wisdom, by divine direction. Men will rise here that will take the world by a storm. I came as a parable to a generation. And because we defy protocols by the Spirit, I decree over your life, begin to defy protocols. Zarato Balakadash Veradia Sunakale. Verivano Salabade Zanikaya Zandania Baradina Baro Sanabida. But hear me, very soon you will have an institution that sells cars and coordinate car transportation business. It's a sign of where you are going to. And so I speak against the powers that has kept you where you are, and I decree by the Spirit, arise from that pit. Sit down. You are a wonder to your generation, and no circumstance is permitted to say otherwise. He said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill, and it causes him to stand amongst princes and to inherit thrones. Somebody will inherit thrones in this season. You know, the testimony is better when you don't look like it. See, when you are doing certain things, people will look at you and say you are arrogant because they think you are too young for it. Wait, after 15 years, they will make reference to it, because what you are doing is that you are pioneering a new order. And there are many from among us that will pioneer new orders and new dimensions by the Spirit. Please sit down. Authority, the game of thrones. How can you live without authority in a wicked world where all men think of is to crush others? Where demons have insatiable appetite for wickedness. He said the dark places of the earth is full with the habitation of cruelty. A world of cruelty. How can you survive in it without authority? The era of living without authority for you is over. The second dimension of authority is authority by height. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21 and Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, it said Christ is seated far above principalities and powers. And he said we are seated with him in that same height. But you see, Paul was teaching in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. He said if you are risen with Christ, he said let your affection be on the things that are from above. Because legally speaking, you can be seated with Christ. But experientially speaking, where your heart is, where your consciousness is, that's where you are. And so in the dynamics of authority by height, God is showing us from scripture how to ascend to begin to function from where Christ is. And I told you there are five cadres as touching authority by height. The first thing that happens to you when you want to walk at that level of authority is to come. Is to come. And your invitation and your coming was also included in your salvation. It said in Hebrews 11:22, it said you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. And so at salvation, in addition to the name of Jesus, and in addition to being clothed with Christ, you are also invited to Mount Zion. But the problem is that you can be in Mount Zion, but at the foot of Mount Zion. Because the Bible makes us understand that there is also a different technology for ascending Zion. And so there are people who are in Zion, but they are at the foot of Zion. That's why the Bible said that upon Mount Zion there is deliverance. Because when you are at the foot of Zion, you can be molested. You can be tormented until you ascend to the top. And so there are many people who are being oppressed even though they've come to Zion. In fact, the Bible says, woe unto him who is at ease in Zion. That means he's come to Zion, but he has not subjected himself to the dynamics of the spirit that causes for ascension. Because it will take something to ascend Zion. And so the first thing that happens is that you are invited to Zion. But now that you have come to Mount Zion, you need to begin to ascend. He said, who shall ascend the mountain of God? Psalm 24 verse 3. And who shall stand upon his holy hills? Because there is such a technology in the spirit that makes for ascension. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, John was speaking. He said, I, John, am your brother in tribulation. He said, I was in the isle called Patmos, and I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And he said, as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. The guy was at Zion, but he needed ascension. In Revelation 4 verse 1, he said, I heard again the same voice that spoke to me. And as I turned, I saw a door open in heaven. And he said, come up hither. There is a come up hither technology that invests power in your life. There are powers we operate in, but if we are on ground, we will still contend with mountains. If we are on ground, we will still contend with serpents. If we are on ground, we will still contend with creatures of the demonic realm. And so, in addition to the name of Jesus, there's a place where you ascend, because it's not every battle you fight. Sometimes you need to ascend and operate beyond their realm. It's a sign of authority. If you are fighting every battle, you may be winning, but at the end of the day, you will lose. David fought 44 battles, 66 battles. Solomon fought none. All of them were reigning, but one reigned by fighting. And you know, there was a time where David would have been killed in battle, until one of the warriors stood up and slew the giant and said, you will no more go to battle, lest the light of Israel be put out. And so if you keep going for battles, you may have casualties. And so in addition to the name of Jesus, there's a technology for ascension. It is in the ascended realm that men are going through things. They are telling you, you are acting as if you are not aware. And they are saying, are you not in this country? Well, I have dual citizenship. Because you can choose to live from Nigeria, and you can also live from Zion. Jesus was walking in Nazareth. In John chapter 3 verse 13, he said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's why he was an impregnable fortress. There was a time they hijacked him, took him to the cliff of the mountain to throw him off. The Bible said he walked through them. When I'm walking with you as a man, you can fight with me. But when I enter my celestial dimension, you will discover that you will be bewildered by the dimensions that will follow. How could people be pushing somebody and he didn't fight back? When they came to the edge of the cliff, suddenly he walked through them. Because he superimposed his dimension. And suddenly, time was short. And when time was short, their activity was stilled. And when he left, that was when they came alive. Did you not read? Moses stretched the rod, parted the Red Sea. You say it's power. Elijah carried his mantle, struck the water, the Jordan. He parted. You say it is power. When Jesus showed up, he said, yes, there's one realm to part water. There's another realm to walk on it. And so I'm not of the Elijah order. I'm not of the Moses order. They can still fight. Here we no longer fight. It's a more than conqueror's dimension. It's an ascended reality. The water is still there. You don't need to part the water, but you enter a dimension that is superior to the law of flotation. And so while the water is yet there, all the propensities of the water is there. You are now operating in an ascended realm. And Jesus was not just walking on water. He was speeding and gliding on water, because the sheep that went ahead of him, suddenly he caught up with them. And they looked at him. They left at the ninth watch. How did he catch up? Because you think he was only walking on water. The miracle was beyond walking on water. The miracle also was gliding, because he overtook the sheep. And when he entered the sheep, the Bible said they were aground. That means he carried the speed and the momentum, put it on the sheep, and suddenly the distance that you cover was withdrawn, because that's an eternal dimension. And in eternal dimension, there's no space. And so they were suddenly on ground. It's an ascended realm of life. Somebody will step into an ascended dimension. Hey, is going down. The reason is because the enemy has mastered your old weapon. And so what you need to do is to change weapon. Come into an ascended realm and they'll be confused. Your ministry is going down. The devil has mastered the old weapon. Come into an ascended order. When you come into an ascended order, all of a sudden, your enemy will discover that he's confused. Somebody steps into an ascended dimension tonight. Sit down.
My God, I'm seeing something. I'm seeing a ball of fire spinning. And it looks as if a portal is about to open. And an engine, it's like an engine, a turbine, is rolling. And this engine, somebody is about to plunge into a new portal. All of this economy, my God, all of this economy is for that one man. Because your hunger has stirred the heavens. I speak now as I see, by the Spirit of God, whoever that one is, that God is opening a new portal so that a new season will open for in your music career, in your business. I decree by the Holy Ghost, let that fire come upon you now. Step into that boat. Step into that boat. Take that place now. They told you your end has come. But God sent me to tell you, this is the morning of your life. Weeping may endure for the night, help the brother, but joy cometh in the morning. I see a fire descending here like the rain now. Like the rain, like the rain. Take that fire! There's a young lady being coronated in the spirit now. I see an ancient mantle of a warrior coming upon you. It's been long we saw Deborahs. It's been long we saw women that were judges in the kingdom. And so now I speak, whoever that one is, on ground or online, the mantle of the patriarchs of old, it descend upon you. Take that fire now. Molested by demons, the last one you had is the last molestation you suffer is the last. You labor, after laboring diligently,
demons now come into the equation to frustrate your effort. I decree by the hand of God, from tonight, step into an invincible realm of existence. For the Lord himself will surround you as a wall of fire. Thank you, Father. Please sit down. And then do double and oh. Hear me. Do you know why we are dancing? We are celebrating somebody's coronation. We are dancing prophetically because you have stepped into another realm. You have stepped into another dispensation. I decree by the Spirit, come into the glorious realm of life. Men will gather around you to celebrate you. They will surround you. Kings will come to your rising. In the name of Jesus. Somebody just entered the realm where kings gather to celebrate. This is the brightness of your rising. In the name of Jesus, I open that gate for you now. Sit down. Please sit down. There are subjects where you don't teach. You will walk out of this place. Strange things will happen to you. Gloriously strange will happen to you. Ah! Do you know how glorious it is for a man that comes out of a lineage where nobody has seen a million, suddenly step into the realm, not of one, not of two, not of three, tens, 20, 30, and hundreds of millions. That's what's happening to someone. By this time, in the next 60 days, the yoke of poverty will break off your life. Please sit down. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. And so in salvation, you came. But now that you have come, a plethora of spiritual technologies are open. And the first technology for ascension is the technology of sound. When a man comes to Zion, he will discover that Zion is a realm of sounds. There are many kinds of sounds in the spirit. The Bible said when the trumpet makes an unusual sound, who will prepare for battle? Because there are many sounds. And so what you will need to do in order to ascend is to fine-tune your spiritual frequency so that you can hear the sound and be carried. And the way you fine-tune is by waiting. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, it said, they that wait upon the Lord. It said, they mount up with wings like the eagles. They mount up. And when they enter that realm, it said, they run, they are not weary. They walk, they don't faint. That realm is the God realm. But it will take waiting to fine-tune your frequency to pick that sound. Because sometimes that sound may not be a trumpet, but that sound will always be the rhema word of God. The sounds we hear at the foot of the mountain is the proceeding word of God. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. When you are able to catch the proceeding word becomes a vehicle of the spirit realm. And for you to catch that word, you must master the act of waiting. There are many believers who are in a rush. They are reading the Bible in a rush. They are in church, they are in a rush. They are in the place of prayer, they are in a rush. That's why they can't wait. It will take waiting to hear the voice of the king. Because God is not a servant spirit. He is a king spirit. It is those who wait upon him that hears his voice. And so the first way to ascend is through waiting. Building discernment in the place of waiting until you can pick the proceeding word of God. There is a word for everyone. That business you are struggling with, there is a word. That family crisis you are struggling with, there is a word. That ministry you are struggling with, there is a word. And if you know, it will take that voice to ascend, you will wait. It's actually called waiting because you will wait. Many cannot wait. You know what waiting is? Waiting is a system of the spirit that steals every voice in your soul so that the voice of God stands out. Many times, you will pray in tongues for many hours to be able to begin to wait. Waiting is not to enter a room and lie down. You will sleep and wake up and go back to your quagmire. Waiting is to break through the noise and the distractions and the distortions of the soul until you come to that point where you become still. That's why he said, be still, and then you will see the salvation of God. And so, it may take hours of worship for your soul to become still. It may take hours of praying in tongues for your soul to become still. It may take hours of meditation of scripture for your soul to become still. But by all means, you must engage this spiritual provision until your spirit becomes still. When your spirit becomes still, then the voice of God will come to you. And when the voice of God comes to you, suddenly you will discover that you are in an ascended reality. Many can't wait. You need to train your spirit to master this. There are times where I want to pray in tongues. The tongues itself become noise. And so I switch to worship. And then I get anointed songs. And then I'm playing them. Sometimes I bring the speaker very close to my ear. And the energy from the song literally begins to rattle my heart. And after a while, you will discover that my spirit man will come out. And when my spirit man comes out, it's time for intercourse. The voice of God will find him. Because the voice of God is always looking for the spirit man. That's why he said the voice of God came into the garden. And he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? The reason you can't pick the frequency, the reason you can't pick the voice, is because many things are still contending for your attention. And God does not want to become part of those contenders. He will wait until you are able to shave off all of those sounds, all of those noise. When you do that, he knows you are ready for the king. Don't you know that for a virgin to go into a king, she has to perfume herself? You have to prepare yourself so that you are worthy of the king. And so waiting is a technology that prepares your spirit to pick the frequency of God. You are where you are because you have not heard. The day you hear, the difference will be clear. It will be clear. Nobody is special. When you find special people, they are dealing on a mystery and on a reality. It's the reality you step on that makes you special. If you can hear, you will become invincible. And so every Christian must build the culture of waiting on God so he can pick the frequency, because the proceeding word is the vehicle of ascension. The second thing to do to ascend is to charge your spirit. Is to charge. The Bible said in Jude, chapter 1 verse 20, it say, you dearly beloved, it say, building up yourself. See, there are things God will not do for you, because if God were to do it for you, everybody will be having the same experience. There are things God will allow you to do because the grace is available. This is why many have come to the mountain but they've not ascended. It say, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, when you begin to charge your spirit, something happens to you. You begin to connect the realms. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, the Bible said, after 8 days. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, but Jesus understood spiritual technologies and he gave himself to it. He never made the mistake of saying, I'm the Son of God, so things will happen. Things don't happen. You make things happen. The Bible said after 8 days, he took Peter, James, and John, and he went to a solitary place. He said, there he prayed. And he said, as he prayed, he said, the fashion of his countenance was altered. We call it the technology of transfiguration. He said, as his fashion was altered, in that state, heaven cannot do without you. The moment he transfigured, he said, standing with him was Moses and Elias. He had gone to the top of the mountain. And they began to tell him the things that he must do in Jerusalem. Most of us are complainers. Most of us are full of lamentation. But the one technology that God has given to us for ascension, we don't take advantage of it. There is no time you pray effectually that you don't ascend. The wise men of old knew it. The Bible said Elijah is a man subject to like passion. He prayed earnestly that it should not rain. And it rained not on the face of the earth for a period of 3.5 years. Elijah knew this technology so much that even while Elijah was visibly in a palace, when he introduced himself, he said, before God, whom I stand. Because when a man begins to pray, he ceases to stand on earth. He begins to climb staircases in Zion. He said, before God, whom I stand. And he began to say things that men don't say. He said, there shall be no rain. There shall be no dew for a period of 3.5 years. And rain will come at my word. And when he finished talking, the king thought he was bluffing. And Elijah walked away. After 2 years, the king launched out a search party. And they began to look for Elijah. When Obadiah finally found him, Elijah said, go and tell the king I'm coming. He said, no, I will not go. I know you. You have come, you have mastered this technology so much that even when you don't feel like, the Spirit of God carries you. Even when you don't want to, you no longer travel by chariot, you travel by prayer. And in order for you to know that this thing is not a rumor, when the Elijah wanted to bring back rain, the Bible said he ascended the mountain and he said he prayed 7 times. The moment rain came, in 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 45 and 46, he said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He said he outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. This is his technology of the spirit. When he charges his spirit, he ascends. When he charges his spirit, he enters his immortal dimension. Every one of us seated here, you have an immortal dimension, but it will take charging in the place of prayer to enter it. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2, Paul said, for this cause we groan earnestly that we may be clothed with our heavenly tabernacle, because the garments we have are many. Some are on earth, some are in heaven. And so when a man wants to go to the heights of the heaven, he knows what to do. That's why I said, I knew a man many years ago. Whether he was in the body or in the spirit, I cannot tell. He said, but that man was carried to the third heavens. He taught us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 2 that the way to go to heaven is by groaning in the spirit. It's by traveling in the spirit. Pastor Victor was teaching last week and he told us it's a means of attaining boiling point. Boiling point. When you get there, you don't only melt the circumstance. When you get to boiling point, you vaporize. And so the boiling point, I'm talking as a chemist now, the boiling point does not only melt the iron. The boiling point is also a vaporization point. And so when you stir yourself, you'll come to a point where you ascend like a mist. And you pour into Zion. Nothing can stop you because you have entered your latent state. At that latent state, you have moved from an ice block. You have entered water. You have moved from water. You have turned to vapor. You can't live on earth anymore. Even if you try to, it will be impossible. When a plane begins to move, there is a velocity he hits. It's called the aerodynamic speed. When the plane hits that velocity, it will be impossible to remain on ground. He has to accelerate. That's what prayer does. When you pray to a level, it becomes impossible to stay in your room. Sometimes you will open your eyes, you will discover you were praying like this. But when you open your eyes, you are here. You won't even know how you came here. The reason is because you have entered the chariots of fire. You have entered the technology of the whirlwind. That's how men ascend in the spirit. Too many Christians are on earth. And so the devil is not your problem. Your prayerlessness is your problem. Because your advantage is on Mount Zion. And you will have to climb there to get it. You see why authority is not a gift? Authority is earned. You earn it. And there's a dynamic. The reason many businesses are failing, many families are failing, is that men are on earth trying to solve problems that are created from mountains. In Mark 1:35, he said, early in the cool of the day, Jesus went to a solitary place. There he prayed. The hours you use for lamentations, the hours you use for complaints, the hours you use for begging, invest it on the altar and see what happens to your life. You will be shocked. Even you will be shocked. You will be so shocked that your life will become a wonder to you. So river flow, river flow, let it turn on, river flow in your church once again. Let eternity river flow, river flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternal river flow, river flow, eternal river flow in your church once again. Value systems are wrong. Somebody goes to London, he snaps and puts everywhere. He goes to Dubai, he snaps and puts everywhere. How about those who live in London? How about those who live in Dubai? When I was in Westminster, they took me a lot of shots, hoping I will come and upload it. That I went to the seat of power of the United Kingdom. I said, no. When you want to see that kind of picture, come the day that there is a halo on my head like Marlon Branham. That one is not the hand of man that built it. I'm looking for a city with foundation whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for something that is eternal. The day an angel will stand with me on the altar, that day I can sponsor a picture. I will not snap in an E3 and sponsor it on Facebook. It's a waste of value system. It's mispriority. They say, I was among the captives by the river Kabah, and I saw visions of God. And I saw, he said, something looked like amber light. And he said, in it, I saw the glory of God. The glory. And he said, I saw the cherubims. He said, they were covered with eyes. They had six wings. With one, they covered their feet. With another, they covered their face. And with two, they beat fly. That's what you sponsor on internet. Not a picture of you with an iPhone. Not a picture of you in Dubai. It's a picture of you in the celestial realm. It's what you capture from Zion. Bring it to earth as a witness. That is what sponsoring. A generation is rising that lives on Mount Zion. River flow.
Can a river flow in your church once again? Let it turn.
The last time I went to Dubai, the program was for one day, and they booked another 2 days for me. I said, no, I'm not a tourist. I have other things to do. If I want to come here to relax, I'll come with my wife, but I'm on mission. What am I doing for another 2 days? They said, come and look around. I said, no. When I want to look around, I enter the prayer altar. There are things to look around there. There are better things. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Advantage is not in the government house. Go there, you will lose your ministry. Pursue governors, you will lose your ministry. Pursue senators, you will lose your ministry. If God wants a senator to support you, he will find you on the altar. There are some men pursuing every businessman with proposals. Oh God, you are about to waste your life. Allow God to put you in his heart. When he comes, he will respect your office. I'll be in Sierra Leone in 2 weeks. My program finishes on Thursday. They booked a hotel for me till Saturday. That government officials want to see me. I said, no, I didn't come to see government officials. I came to win souls to Christ. Reschedule my flight to return the day after my meeting. If I come to a level where they need me, they will find me. I didn't go there to look for government officials. Don't waste your life pursuing mundane things. When you ascend Zion, everyone God should connect you to, he will work it out himself. Many have lost their ministries, lost their businesses, pursuing after men that God did not connect them to. Because we have failed on the altar. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. The sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. I was in Botswana last month. The minister of tourism came to my room to be prayed for. The deputy speaker came to kneel down in my room to be prayed for. They said they want to snap. I said, no. Don't worry. There are other times. Now we are doing business. Don't pursue mundane things. Men can't give you value. Men can't give you honor. Keep ascending. There's a level you will get to. When you come out, you will come with cherubims. And at that time, even the president of your country will look for you. Don't you know that there are people that the president visits? Why waste your time going to sit in the government house for 3 weeks to see somebody? No! We have an advantage. Peter said, we have not believed cunningly devised fables when we spoke to you of the glory that is to come. He said, we were eyewitnesses of these things. He said, for we were with him on the mount when he was transfigured. There's a realm of the transfiguration. When you enter there, men will look for you. There's nothing wrong in having fraternity with a governor or with a senator, but don't pursue them. Wait for your time. God will create that connection and it will translate to kingdom advancement. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Capacity
in the spirit.
I heard that the W.F. Kumuye shared a testimony. He was organizing the Holy Ghost convention and they told him the king of his city wanted to come and they wanted him to leave the place of prayer to come and follow the protocol of receiving the king. He said, no, when he comes, give him a seat. You think this man just appeared? They knew what to pursue after. I heard Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche said something. He was to go for healing and deliverance service. And somebody told him, I have a house to give to you in Maitama. You know what that means? He said, okay, let's have the papers. And the person said he must go and see the house. He said, no, I have service now. He said, well, if you can't see the house now,
then I may not give. He said, keep your house. Today he can buy 1/3 of Abuja if he wants to. The reason many don't go far is because they leave ascension and they pursue things that are included in ascension. When you ascend, you will meet a plane there. You will meet land there. You will meet connection there. But if you leave it and pursue one connection, you will leave every other thing that is in ascension. He said he has given us all spiritual blessings, but they are in the heavenly places. It's as you ascend that you pick them up. That's how you pick them up. Somebody will receive wings in the spirit tonight. Thank you, Father. Please sit down. I'm showing you why many lost glorious things. Because they left hallowed things and they started pursuing mundane things. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. Don't be full of yourself. But at the same time, a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. Let nothing substitute your prayer. You will need energy and momentum to ascend. And so as much as is within your power, pray. As you pray, you will be shocked that the things you are running helter-skelter to find, they are actually in places in the spirit. There's a frequency you will enter. Somebody will lose his sleep and look for you with all his life. Somebody was searching for me. He called me over 7 times. Sent messages. What is the problem? He wanted to come and sow a seed. And you are troubling yourself like this. It's called ascension. When you ascend, you will find things. Your reality is a manifestation of your height in the spirit. And so it takes waiting to hear the Rhema word, and it takes charging your spirit by prayer to ascend. When you have ascended, then you come to the third realm of authority. He said, who shall stand upon his holy mountain? Because after you ascend, you will need to stand. Who shall stand upon his holy hills? And he said, him that with a clean hands, him that is with a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. It takes 4 things to stand in the place of power. A clean hand is a lifestyle of righteousness and holiness. A pure heart is a posture devoid of soulish iniquity, gossip, backbiting, envy, competition. How can you stand? Those are weights. It says, put aside every weight that doth easily beset you and run the race with patience. You carry the weight of malice, the weight of gossip, the weight of backbiting, and you think you can exercise authority. There are many people who can't win souls, but they can slander with their tongue. When they hear something wrong about a believer, they will preach it to 100 persons. But tell them to preach the gospel, they can't preach it to one man. And they think they will wield authority. It's not from them. It's not for them. Their heart is corrupt. They need to be purged. Hyssop need to be purged. They need to be purged with hyssop. Their eyes need to be washed. And their tongues need to be touched. And he said not to lift your soul in vanity. It's a state of pride. Being full of yourself. He said, God is the one to resist you. When you are proud, it's not a demon that fights you. It's God that fights you. Because God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And finally, he said, not to swear deceitfully. There are many people that are liars, mischievous, and manipulative. They are manipulative with everybody around them. In fact, when they tell you it is morning, just go and sleep because it's night. Even themselves have forgotten when last they told themselves the truth. So if they say it's night, they have to go and verify because their tongue is full of mischievity. Such men cannot stand in the courts of God because their garment is filthy. You want to wield power? It takes lifestyle. Sometimes you will go to a place, you will not hear the voice of God. Sometimes you will go to a place, all you will come with is the testimony of righteousness. You know that your hands are clean. You know that your heart is pure. You know that your heart has not been lifted in vanity and you have not sworn deceitfully. And like Samuel, because there is no ought against you, you will say, this is dry season. But I decree now that there should be rain and God will honor it. Because he say, I, the Lord, I perform the words of my servants and I confirm the counsels of my messengers. And so while authority begins with birth, authority metamorphoses into ascension, requiring the rhema word and a charged spirit. But over and above that, authority also demands a pure life, holy lifestyle, righteous lifestyle. There are many persons that have descended because of their lifestyle. That's why I said, I've said unto you, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. He said, but you will fall like the princes. There are many who have been raised like princes, but they will fall because they don't know the demands of authority. Their hands are stained with iniquity. Their soul is puffed up in pride, and they are full of vanity. And so God cannot entrust them with authority further. The third cadre of authority has to do with your lifestyle. Many things in your life, you will not fight by speaking. You will fight with your life. Because when you show up, the Bible said, Jesus speaking, he said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. It was Jesus' sinlessness. It was Jesus' blamelessness that gave him power over principalities. Why you use the power of the new birth to deal with demons? When you meet principalities, you are going to need blamelessness. Because principalities are not moved that you are born again. They met Jesus on the mountain. They say, if you are the son of God, turn these stones to bread. They can fight with a man who is born again, but they are helpless around a man who is blameless. The reason many cannot wield authority enough is because their life is full of blemish. And tonight, God is purging somebody. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And his train filled the temple. And one thing happened to him. He said, when he saw the excellency of his majesty, because he had not gone to Zion before, he was priding himself in gifts until he came to Zion and he saw the likeness of the seraphims. And he said, woe unto me. A national prophet began to curse himself. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And he said, one of the seraphims took one of the coals from the midst of the fire and touched his tongue and said, now your iniquity is past. There is a realm where you cannot exercise authority by gift. You will exercise authority through purity and blamelessness. When you show up, they will find out, is there a stain of pride on your life? Is there a stain of bitterness of soul, evil of the heart? Is that stain on you? They will find out, is your lifestyle correct, or you are a manipulative and a treacherous person? And they will find out the things that you are aligned with. If your character is questionable, there is a mantle you can never wield. There are certain mantles that are wielded by purity. There are certain mantles that are wielded by humility. There are certain mantles that are wielded by righteousness. And so if you don't have those testimonies, even if a drum of oil is poured on you, you will not have such powers. Many times, people find others doing great things, and they look at them and judge them on the frequency of gift. They say, what is this person preaching? I preach better. What is this person singing? I sing better. That song is just an excuse. That message is just an excuse God is using to elevate him. What is elevating him is more than a song. And if you are still comparing yourself based on voice, you have lost it all. Because there's a signature upon that person's life. And many times, that signature is a function of a life without blame. You want to walk in authority, you will need blamelessness to walk in authority. Okamalea, Oyidango, Ocho, great and mighty God. Awesome is your name. Aleya Chaba, Oyidango, Ocho, great and mighty God. Awesome is your name. You know what God does? He hides these things. He hides it. The Bible said this treasure is hid. He said, these things are mysteries. He said, they are hid for your glory. God designed it such a way that a thief can never walk in it. A criminal can never walk in it. A demonized fellow can never walk in it. Because a point will come when you show up. They will tell you, what do you carry? Because you can't come to equity with a stained hands. It will take purity for you to wield power. So that the devil cannot corrupt it and cannot compromise it. There's a realm where you can deceive God with tears. But there are realms you'll get to. If you like, cry all your life, nothing will change. God will tell you, your iniquity must pass. It's a game of authority. We're out of time. The fourth dimension of authority is they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. After you come, you ascend. After you ascend, you stand. After you stand, you dwell. You dwell. There's a measure of authority that only dwellers can handle. That's why he was quoting a scripture last week from John 15:7. He said, if you abide with me, if you abide, then you will ask what you want and it shall be done. There is a realm of authority that is for dwellers. He said, you are no longer servants, but you have become friends. You know why? They've tarried with him for long. There's a kind of authority that God gives to men who have the stamina to dwell in his presence. When Moses stayed with him for 40 days, as he was coming down from the mountain, the Bible said his eyes were shining. His face was shining like the sun. That kind of authority is not revelation that gives it. It's to dwell. Because when the moon interacts with the sun, the moon also becomes a reflector of light. There is a realm of authority you will not get to until you dwell. And when you dwell for a long time, then he sends you out. The authority you enter by birth gives you power over demons. The authority you enter by ascension gives you power over circumstances. That's why every time you hear, you dominate. The authority you enter by standing gives you power over principalities. The authority you enter by dwelling gives you power over God's house. Because there are those who are rulers of God's estate. And the authority you enter when you are sent forth from Mount Zion is to establish God's dominion. They are for different purposes. That's why some people cast out demons, but their life is poverty and pain. Because they have authority by revelation of new birth, but they don't hear the rhema word to ascend. And so they cannot dominate the circumstances of life. There are some people who dominate the circumstances of life, but principalities can still make a waste of them because they don't have character enough to stand. And there are those who are standing, but they don't dwell. And because they don't dwell, God does not give them authority in his house. And there are others who will never be sent because he called them to be with him so that he might send them. So the last level of authority is when God trusts you enough to send you. That's why he said, out of Mount Zion, saviors shall come to judge the mountains of Esau. Tonight, the Lord has brought us to a realm of authority. And so everyone seated here is an agent of power and an agent of authority. But it will either take the new birth experience to walk in it, or it will take levels of ascension. And so the question for you tonight is, where is your height in Zion? Are you still at the foot of the mountain? Or have you ascended to the top of the mountain? Or are you standing? Listen, the babyish Christianity of prophesying over you from January to December is a joke. The babyish Christianity of imparting you every day and telling you it's enough is a joke. Because when you walk out of this life, there is a world to come. And that world responds only to who you have become in Christ and what you represent in Christ. I decree over your life, everything that it takes authority to enter, in the name of Jesus, step into it from tonight. We are out of time. I told you tonight's service, I don't necessarily need you to be explosive. It's by talking. Because one of the ways to exercise authority is to talk. And so by the mercies of God, and on the strength of the measure of authority that God has allocated to me as a servant, I decree over you, as you walk out of this door, walk into the next phase of your life. I decree over you, everything that has resisted you till now, in the name of Jesus, subdue them now. I decree over you, everything that has made a mockery of your existence, rule over them from tonight. In the name of Jesus. Your altar has
has been turned to ashes, but I speak as a representative of fire in the spirit. As you walk out of this place, that altar comes alive from tonight. You have lost things by demonic manipulations. Demons have harassed you. They have oppressed you. And they have taken what belongs to you. He said, when the thief is caught, he will pay sevenfold. I decree, step into the sevenfold order of reward. I'm out of time. Ah. Just lift your hands toward heaven. If I hit on it hard, we will take time. But I'm seeing a dew from heaven. A dew. There are some men that are being initiated into higher realm of authority. These ones will be broken from family oppressions, and they will also receive power to deliver people who are in family oppression, captivities over families. Please be quiet if you can. God is touching them. I want to lay hands on these people. At least there are seven of them here. Now. Take. Bring them here quickly. The affliction is over. I break the siege. I cut off the tongue of the Leviathan. I curse every manipulation that has shot your life and the quality of your existence. Come out of that pit now. I take authority over demonic orders, demonic manipulations, demonic oppression on ground, online. Come out of that pit now. Help them quick. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you entered here with a garment of reproach. I decree under this unction now, receive a new garment. Be clothed with favor. Step into a new order. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. With all your strength, you qualify because you have all it takes. But there is a demonic algorithm of reproach around you. I speak over your life now. Everything that makes you struggle to go forward but end up going backward, by the wind of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, you are carried to your next level now.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.